Smoke made his camp at the very edge of town, pitching his tent and unrolling his blankets. Saving his meager supplies, he cut a pole and rigged it for fishing and walked to a little stream not far away. There he caught his supper, all the while letting his eyes stay busy, checking out the terrain. The stream had to come from somewhere. It didn't just come out of the ground here, because it was full of trout. Huge peaks rose stately and protectively all around the little valley that housed Dead River. Smoke wondered where and how it had gotten its name. At first glance, he could understand why a lot of people would believe the myth of one way in and one way out. But Smoke knew that was crap, and he felt that most of the outlaws knew it as well. But those who would try to seek escape when the attack came would be in for a very ugly surprise when they tried those secret trails. White Wolf and his braves would be in hiding, waiting for them. As Smoke had ridden to his camp, he had seen the compound where some prisoners were being held. But mostly the whole town itself was a prison, and he had noticed many slaves had free access to the town. They obviously had been convinced, probably very brutally, that there was no way out except for the road, so why lock them up? But they were probably locked up at night. The compound then must be for any newcomers to the town. Or perhaps those were people being punished for some infraction of the rules, or waiting to die. Smoke wondered if the marshal's plant, Hope Ferris, was in the compound, or if she'd been discovered and killed. He cleaned his fish and cooked his supper, all the while watching the comings and goings of the outlaws. So far, few had paid any attention to him. Smoke judged the number of outlaws in the town at right around 200, and that was not counting the shopkeepers and clerks and whores. Rex Davidson had himself a profitable operation going here, Smoke concluded, and he was sure King Rex got his slice of the pie from every store in town and from every whore who worked. Not that there were that many stores. Smoke had counted 6, but they were all huge stores. By far, the biggest place in town was the livery stable and barns, a half dozen of them, all connected by walkways. And during bad weather, many men, Smoke guessed, would live and sleep in those barns. He knew that this high up, the winters would be brutal ones. So far, Smoke had not seen the man called Daggett. He felt sure he would recognize him from Sally's description. Already he had seen a dozen or more hard cases he had brushed trails with years back, but his disguise had worked. They paid him no mind, other than a quick glance and equally quick dismissal as being nothing more than a fop and totally harmless. He wondered if Lone Eagle had hidden his guns behind the privy yet, then decided he had not. Not enough time had gone by since Smoke had met with the brave at the head of the creek.
Ah! Please, no!
Shut the hell up, you.
The door to a cabin was flung open, and Smoke watched as a naked man ran out into the road. Then the obscene bulk of Brute Pittman appeared in the door of the shack. He was shirtless, his pants hanging down to his knees. Brute held a long-barreled pistol in his hand. The naked man fell forward, sliding on his face in the dirt and the gravel. The bullet had gone clear through the man, tearing a hole in his chest as it exited. The man didn't move again. Brute noticed Smoke.
Hey, you! Come here!
Not on your life, you obscene tub of lard!
A dozen outlaws had stopped what they were doing, and they were motioning for others to come join them, come listen and watch. For sure, they thought the fop was about to get mauled. Brute stepped away from his shack.
Would you call me sissy boy?
Smoke could see Rex Davidson and another man dressed all in black from his boots to his hat, walking up the dirt street to join the crowd.
Daggett.
Daggett wore his guns as Smoke preferred to wear his, a left hand Colt high and butt forward, using a cross draw. It was going to be a very interesting match when it came to it, Smoke thought, for no man wore his guns like that and lived very long unless he was very, very quick. Smoke turned his attention back to Brute. The man had moved closer to him, And Jesus God, was he big and ugly. He was so ugly he could make a buzzard puke.
I said you were a fat tub of lard, blubber butts.
That's it. I'll tear your damn head off.
Only if you can catch me.
Smoke began running around in circles, taunting the huge man. The outlaws all thought it was pretty damn funny, because truth be told, few of them liked Brute, and all could just barely tolerate his aberrant appetites. He lived in Dead River because there he could do as he pleased with slaves, and because he could afford the high rent, paying yearly in gold. He left the place only once a year, for 1 month to the day. Those who tried to follow him, find and steal his cache of stolen gold, well, they were never seen again. Smoke knew that he could never hope to best Brute in any type of rough and tumble fight, not if he stayed within the limits of his foppish charade. But Brute was over 300 pounds and about 6.5 feet tall. But he was out of shape, with a huge pus gut. And if Smoke could keep the ugly bastard running around after him for a few more minutes, then he might stand a chance of besting him and staying known as a sissy. Smoke stopped and danced all around, his fist held in the classic fighter stance. He knew he looked like a fool in his fancy colored breeches and silk shirt and stupid cap with a feather stuck in it.
I warn you, I am an expert pugilist.
I'm gonna pugil you!
Miss me? First you have to catch me. Can't catch me.
Gotcha.
Smoke could smell the stink of Brute's unwashed body and the fetid animal smell of his breath. Before Brute could better his hold on Smoke, Smoke balled his right hand into a hard fist. Brute was instantly on him, his massive hands closing around Smoke's throat. Blood dripped from the man's smashed nose.
I'm not gonna kill you this way. I have other plans for you, pretty boy.
Smoke twisted his head and bit Brute on the arm.
Ow!
Brute's hand left his throat and Smoke twisted from beneath him, rolling and coming to his feet. He looked wildly around him, spotting a broken 2x4 and grabbing it. The wood was old and somewhat rotten, but it would make a by God dandy club.
You sorry son of a bitch! You're gonna regret the day you even thought of crossing.
Smoke swung that 2x4.
All right, you nasty ne'er-do-well. I hate violence, but you asked for this!
Brute was down, and Smoke dropped the board.
Ow, my hand. Oh, it hurts so.
Sheriff Danvers, take a look at DeBeer's hand. See if it's broken. If it is and he can't draw, shoot, Brute.
Yes, sir. Mr. DeBeers?
Yes?
Show me your hand.
Here you are. I do most dearly pray this pain passes.
Does this hurt?
Ow! A little.
How about this?
Actually, that feels pretty good.
Oh, Jesus, he's fine. Nothing broken.
Well, isn't that a bit of good news?
I'm sorry about this incident, sir. I came in peace. I will leave others alone if they do the same for me.
Davidson looked first at the unconscious Brute, then at Smoke.
You start drawing me first thing in the morning. Sheriff Danvers?
Yes, sir.
Brute comes out of it. Advise him, I said, to leave Mr. DeBeers alone. Tell him he may practice his sickening perversions on the slaves, but not on the paying guests.
Yes, sir.
Mr. DeBeers, breakfast at my house, 8 o'clock in the morning. Be there.
Yes, sir.
Does this place offend your delicate sensibilities, Mr. DeBeers?
Since you inquire, yes, it does.
It was after breakfast, and Davidson was posing for the first of many drawings.
Why is that, Mr. DeBeers?
Because of the barbarous way those unfortunate people at the edge of town are treated. That's the main reason.
I see. Interesting. But in England, Mr. DeBeers, drawing and quartering people in public was only stopped a few years ago. And is not England supposed to be the bastion of civilized law and order? more or less?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, this is still a young country, so it's going to take us a while to catch up.
Yes, sir. I suppose you're right.
Don't pander to me, Mr. De Beers. You most certainly do not think I am right.
But when I speak my mind, I get slapped or struck down.
Only in public, Mr. De Beers. When we're here alone, you may speak your mind.
Thank you, sir. In that case, I find this entire community the most appalling nest of human filth I have ever had the misfortune to encounter.
Of course you do. But after a time, one becomes accustomed to it. You'll see.
I don't plan on staying that long, sir.
Smoke looked at King Rex, checking for any signs of annoyance. He could see none.
Now, why would you want to leave here?
Why, to continue with my journey, sir. To visit and sketch the West.
Ah, but you have some of the most beautiful scenery in the world right around you. Plus, many of the most famous outlaws and gunfighters in the West. You could spend a lifetime here and not sketch it all.
Oh, that is true. But two of the people I want to meet and sketch are not here.
Oh? And who might those be?
The mountain man, preacher, and the gunfighter, Smoke Jensen.
The only sign of emotion from Davidson was a nervous tick under his right eye.
Then you should just wait here, Mr. De Beers, for I believe Jensen is on his way.
Oh, really, sir? Then I certainly shall wait. Oh, I'm so excited.
Control yourself, Shirley.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry. Sir?
Yes?
Getting back to this place, the West, from what I've been able to see, is changing almost daily, settling. Surely this town is known for what it really is.
So?
Do you think this will go on forever and ever? As the town becomes known outside of this immediate area, the citizens will eventually grow weary of it and demand that the army storm the place.
Yeah, you're probably right, and I've given that much thought of late. But young man, this town has been here for 20 years and still going. Now, how do you account for that?
Well, when you first came here, I suppose there were no other towns nearby. Now all that's changed. Civilization is all around you and closing in. That, sir, is why I wanted to come west now, before the Wild West is finally tamed.
Well, you are thinking, man, Mr. De Beers, and I like that. There's so little intellectual stimulation to be found around here. I'm weary of posing. Let me see what you've done. Huh. Well, that's good. Very good. Excellent, as a matter of fact. I thought it would be. I have arranged for you to take your meals at the Bon Ton Café. Now, I will want at least 100 of your sketches of me, some with an outside setting. When that is done to my satisfaction, then you may leave. Good day, Mr. De Beers.
As he walked back to his tent, Smoke pondered his situation. Surely Rex Davidson was insane. But if he was, would that not make all the others in this place mad as well? Smoke didn't believe that for a moment. They had a different malady. And for those scum and filth and perverts in this town of Dead River, Smoke felt he had the cure for what ailed them. The pills were made of lead. And the doctor's name was Smoke Jensen. For 1 hour each day, Smoke sketched Rex Davidson. The rest of the time was his to spend as he pleased. He took his meals at the Bon Ton. The man who owned the place was wanted for murder back in Illinois, having killed several people by poison. And he spent the rest of his time wandering the town, sketching this and that, and picking up quite a bit of money by drawing the outlaws who came and went. He made friends with none of them, having found no one whom he felt possessed any qualities that he wished to share. Although he felt sure there must be one or two in the town who could be saved from a life of crime with just a little bit of help, Smoke put that out of his mind and, for the most part, kept it out. He wanted nothing on his conscience when the lead started flying. He was not physically bothered by any outlaw. but the taunts and insults continued from many of the men and from a lot of the women who chose to live in the town. Smoke would smile and tip his cap at him, but if they could have read his thoughts, they would have grabbed the nearest horse and gotten the hell out of Dead River. Brute saw Smoke several times a day, but he refused to speak to him. He would only grin nastily and make the most obscene gestures. Smoke saw the three who had shoved him around in Trinidad, Jake, Shorty, and Red, but they paid him no mind neither. What did worry Smoke was that the town seemed to be filling up with outlaws. Many more were coming in, and damn few were leaving. They were not all famous gunfighters and famous outlaws, of course. As a matter of fact, many were no more than two-bit punks who had gotten caught in the act of whatever crimes they were committing, and in a dark moment of fear and fury had killed when surprised. But that didn't make him any less guilty in Smoke's mind. And then, as criminals are prone to do, they grabbed a horse or an empty boxcar and ran, eventually joining up with a gang. It was the gang leaders and lone wolf hired guns who worried Smoke the most, for here in Dead River were the worst of them in a three-state area. La Hogue, called the Hog behind his back, and his gang of cutthroats lived in Dead River. Natick and his bunch were in town, as was the Studs Woodenhouse gang and Bill Wilson's bunch. And just that morning, Paul Rycroft and Slim Bothwell and their men had ridden in. Yeah, the place was filling up with hard cases. And to make matters worse, Smoke knew a lot of the men who were coming in. He had never ridden any hoot owl trails with any of them, but their paths had crossed now and then. The West was a large place, but relatively small in population, so people who roamed were apt to meet now and then. Cat Ventura and the Hog had both given Smoke some curious glances, and not just one look, but several. And that made Smoke uneasy. He wanted desperately to check to see if his guns were behind the privy, but he knew it would only bring unnecessary attention to himself, and that was something he could do without. He'd stayed alive so far by playing the part of a foolish fop and by maintaining a very high visibility, and with only a few days to go, he didn't want to break that routine. He spent the rest of the day sketching various outlaws, picking up about $100 doing so, and checking out the town of Dead River. But there was not that much more to be learned about the place. Since he was loosely watched every walking moment, Smoke had had very little opportunity to do much exploring. He was sitting before his small fire that evening, enjoying a final cup of coffee before rolling up in his blankets, because the nights were very cool this high up in the mountains.
Hello, the fire!
If you're friendly, come on in. I'll share my coffee with you.
Nice of you.
A young man, fresh-faced, with youth, perhaps 20 years old at the most, and wearing a grin, walked up and squatted down, poured a tin cup full of dark, strong cowboy coffee. He glanced over the hat-sized fire at Smoke, his eyes twinkling with good humor. Smoke accurately pegged the young cowboy. He was not an outlaw. There was just something about the young man, something clean and vital and open. That little intangible that set the innocent apart from the lawless.
My first time to this place. It's quite a sight to see, ain't it?
Smoke had noticed that the cowboy wore his six gun low and tied down, and the gun seemed to be a living extension of the man.
It is all of that, young man, to be sure.
Name's York.
Shirley DeBiz.
You funning me?
Actually, no. It's a fine old family name. Is York your first or last name?
You're new to town here, ain't you?
Why, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. How did you know that?
People in the West don't usually ask that. It's just York.
Very well.
Smoke noticed that the young man's eyes kept drifting to the pan of bacon and bread he had fixed for his supper. There was a few strips of bacon left and about half a loaf of bread.
If you're hungry, please help yourself. I've eaten my fill and I hate to throw away good food.
Oh, thanks. That's right big of you. You don't never have to worry about tossing out no food when I'm around.
York fixed a huge sandwich and then used another piece of bread to sop up the grease from the pan. Smoke guessed he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. When York had finished and not a crumb was left, he settled back and poured another cup of coffee. Smoke tossed him a sack of tobacco and papers.
Oh, thanks. That was good grub. Hit the spot, let me tell you. Anything I can do for you, you just let me know. Most hombres around here wouldn't give a man the time of day if they had a watch in every pocket. Sorry, bastards.
I agree with you, but you be careful where you say things like that, York.
Ain't that the truth? Say, you don't either talk like nor look like a man that's on the dodge, De Beers.
On the dodge? Oh, yes, I see what you mean now. Oh, no. I can assure you I am not wanted by the authorities.
Then what in the hell are you doing in a place like this?
Working, sketching the West and some of its most infamous people. Mr. Davidson was kind enough to give me sanctuary and the run of the place.
And you believed him?
Well,
yeah. You might look sort of silly, and I don't mean no offense by that. It's just that you dress different. But I got a hunch you ain't dumb.
Thank you.
Smoke was not about to fall into any verbal traps, not knowing if York was a plant to sound him out.
You really come in here without having to, huh?
That's correct.
Weird. But I reckon you have your reasons. Me? Nah, I didn't have no choice at all in the matter.
We all have choices, young man. But sometimes they are disguised and hard to make.
Whatever that means. Anyways, I'm on the hard dodge. I am.
I'm very sorry to hear that, York. Is it too personal to talk about?
No. I killed a man in Utah.
You don't sound like a man who would cold-bloodedly kill another man.
Huh? Oh, no. It wasn't nothing like that. It was a stand-up-and-face-him-down fight. But the law didn't see it that way. I guess nearabouts all these people in this lousy town would claim they was framed. But I really was. You see, I bought a horse from this feller. It was a good horse, $50. Too good, as it turned out. I had me a bill of sale and all that. Then these folks come riding up to me about a week later and claimed I stole the horse. They had him a rope all ready to stretch my neck. I showed them my bill of sale, and I backed them down some. But they were still going to take the horse and leave me a foot in the Uintas. Well, I told them they wasn't going to do no such thing. I told them that if the horse was rightfully theirs, well, I was wrong, and they was right. But let me get to a town before they took the horse. Don't leave me in the big middle of nowheres on foot. They allowed as to how I could just by God walk out of there. I told them they better drag iron if that's what they had in mind, because I damn sure wasn't going to hoof it out of there. Well, they dragged iron, but I was quicker. I killed one and put lead in the other. The third one, he turned yeller and ran off. I got the hell out of there and drifted. Then I learned that I had a murder charge hanging over my head. That third man who'd run off, he told a pack of lies about what really happened. Bounty hunters come up on me about 2 or 3 months later. I buried one of them and toted the other one into a little town, to the doc's office. Marshall, he come up all blustered up, and I told him what happened. He added that if he didn't like my version of it, he'd just clear leather and we'd settle it that way. Marshall didn't like it, and I'll admit I had my back up some, but he liked living more in gunfighting, so I drifted on, and things just kept getting worser and worser. I couldn't get no job because of them posters out on me. I heard about this place and sort of drifted in. I ain't no outlaw, but I don't know what else to do with all them charges hanging over my head.
Might I make a suggestion?
You sure could. I'd rather live in hell with rattlesnakes than in heaven with this bunch around here.
York, why don't you just change your name and drift? And by the way, do you still have the horse in question?
Nah. I turned him loose and caught me a wild horse and broke him. He's a good horse.
Well then, York, drift. Change your name and drift. Chances are that you'll never be caught.
I thought of that. But damn it, De Beers, I ain't done nothing wrong. At least not yet. And York is my family name. By God, I'm gonna stick with it. I'm doing some thinking about linking up with Slim Bothwell's bunch. They asked me to. I guess I ain't got no choice. I don't want to hurt nobody or steal nothing from nobody. But hell, I gotta eat.
York, you're not cut out for the outlaw life.
Don't I know it. Look, De Beers, I listened to some of the men talking about all they've done in here and out there. Damn near made me puke. I just don't know what to do.
Smoke wondered if this entire thing could be a setup and concluded that it certainly could be. But something about the young cowboy was awfully convincing. He decided to take a chance, but to do it without York knowing of it.
Perhaps something will come up to change your mind, York.
Like what?
I really have no idea, but hope springs eternal, York. You must always keep that in mind. Where are you staying while you're here?
I ain't got no place. Give that Daggett fella my last $50. He told me that'd give me 5 days in here. After that, I don't know.
You're welcome to stay here. I don't have much, but you're welcome to share with me.
That's mighty white of you, De Beers. I'll take you up on that. There is them that say you're goofy, but I don't think so. I think you're just a pretty nice guy in a bad spot.
Thank you, York. And have you ever thought that might fit you as well?
Yeah, I reckon it might. I ain't never done a dishonest thing in my life. Only difference is, you ain't got no warrants hanging over your head. You can ride out this hellhole anytime you take a notion. Me? I'm stuck, looking at the wrong end of society.
The next morning, Smoke left the still-sleeping York a full pot of coffee, then took his sketch pad and went walking, as was his custom every morning. As the saloon came into view, Smoke noticed a large crowd gathered out front in the street, and it was far too early for that many drinkers to have gathered.
Woo-hoo, let's have some fun!
Yeah, let's skin the son of a bitch!
No, let's give him the brew!
Nah, Brute don't want no dirty engine.
Not unless it's a young boy.
No, hold it down, hold it down. Mr. Davidson's got a plan, and it's a good one.
Smoke stepped up to a man who was standing in the center of the street. It was Shorty, one of the men who had terrorized Smoke several days prior. Now it seemed his cruelty had been directed towards another poor soul.
What on earth has happened here?
Guards called him an engine about dawn. He's trying to slip out over the mountains. No one knows what he was doing in town.
Why, he must have slipped in on the road. It would be impossible to come in through those terribly high mountains around the town.
Yeah, that's what he done, all right. And ain't no telling how long he's been trying to get out, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think the savage should be hanged immediately.
You all right, Shirley? You're beginning to fit right in here. Yeah, the engine's gonna die, but it's gonna be slow.
Why?
Why, hell's fire, Shirley, so we can all have some fun, that's why.
Oh, of course.
A man ran past Smoke and the Outlaw, running in that odd bow-legged manner of one who has spent all his life on a horse.
Hey, what's happening, Jeff?
Mr. Davidson told me to get the kid, York. Says we gotta test him.
Smoke got the feeling he knew what the test was gonna involve, and he also felt that York would not pass it. There was a sick feeling in the pit of his stomach. Smoke wandered on down to the large crowd gathered in front of the saloon and tried to blend in. The crowd of hard cases and thugs and gun for hires ignored him, but Smoke was very conscious of Rex Davidson's eyes on him. He met the man's steady gaze and smiled at him. Davidson waved the crowd silent.
Now I have decided on a better plan. Forget York, we know he's a wanted man. There are some of you who claim that our artist friend is not what he professes to be. Well, let's settle that issue right now. Bring that damn Indian out here.
Smoke felt sure it would be Lone Eagle, and damned if it wasn't. He was dragged out of the saloon and onto the boardwalk. He'd been badly beaten, his nose and mouth dripping blood. But his face remained impassive, and he deliberately didn't look at Smoke.
Drag that damn savage to the shooting post. And you, Mr. Artist, you come along too.
Do I have to? I hate violence. It makes me ill. I'd be upset for days.
Yes, damn it, you have to. Now get moving.
Smoke allowed himself to be pushed and shoved along, not putting up any resistance. He wondered if any engines were watching from the cliffs that surrounded the outlaw town and concluded that they probably were. The crowd stopped in a large clearing. In the center of the clearing, a bullet-scarred and blood-stained post was set into the ground. Lone Eagle turned to face the crowd.
I do not need to be tied like a coward. I face death with a strong heart, and I shall die well. I will show the white man how to die with honor, which is something that few of you know anything about.
There you go, Shirley.
What am I supposed to do with this weapon, Mr. Davidson?
Kill the Indian?
Oh, I say now, I haven't fired a gun in years. I detest guns. I'm afraid of them. I won't be able to hit this savage.
The white man is a woman! A coward!
Smoke knew that Lone Eagle was deliberately goading him. Lone Eagle knew he was going to die, and he preferred his death to be quick rather than slow torture. Torture for the amusement of the white men gathered around. Now, he might have chosen the slow way had he been captured by another tribe, for to die slowly and with much pain was an honor, if at the hands of other Indians, but not at the hands of the white men.
Hey, you gonna take that from a damned engine, Shirley?
What am I supposed to do?
Kill the bastard!
I see. Now, this hammer should be, pushed back.
Oh, shit! You damn near took off my foot, boy!
So sorry, so sorry. I must confess this whole...
Shoot the goddamn Indian, DeBears!
Okay.
Shirley?
Try again, Shirley.
What a silly, silly man you are. If you had two pistols and a rifle and shotgun beside you, you still would not be able to hit me. It is good they are out of your sight. You might hurt yourself, foolish man.
Smoke smiled inwardly. Lone Eagle had just let him know that the weapons had been hidden in his plan.
Shoot the damn engine, Shirley!
All right, all right! You don't have to be so ugly about it.
Jesus Christ, the beers!
The pistol was fully loaded, Shirley. You have four rounds left.
Lone Eagle turned his back to Smoke and hiked up his loincloth, exposing his bare buttocks, the height of an insult to a man.
There are little girls in my village who are better shots than the white man. Your shots are nothing more than farts in the wind.
Quiet, you goddamn redskin!
Now, Shirley, if you don't kill him, you shall be the one to gouge out his eyes. And if you refuse, I'll personally kill you. After I let Brute have his way with you.
Smoke knew the tune. It was Lone Eagle's death song. Smoke listened while he fumbled with the gun. Lone Eagle was telling him to miss again, and then he would charge and make the outlaws kill him. It was too much to ask a friend to do so. And it was a good way to die. The gods had allowed a beautiful day, warm and pleasant. Smoke cocked the pistol and lifted it, taking aim.
What just happened?
You'll never change, Shirley. Look, do us all a favor and don't ever carry a gun. You'd be too damn dangerous. Hell, you might accidentally hit something.
I feel faint.
Dagon walked up to Smoke now, contempt in his eyes.
If you pass out, DeBeers, you'll damn well lie where you fall.
I could probably make it back to camp before I collapse, but isn't anyone going to bury the savage?
I think that'd be a fine job for Shirley, don't you, Rex?
Yeah, I do. There's a shovel right over there, DeBeers. Now get to it.
It took Smoke more than an hour to dig out a hole in the rocky soil, even though he dug it shallow, knowing the chief would take the body from the ground and give it a proper engine burial later on. When he got back to his camp, York was laying on his blankets, looking up at him, disgust in his eyes. Smoke flopped down on his own blankets.
What a terrible experience.
There wasn't no call to kill that engine. He wasn't even armed. Probably was looking for food. You was missing him deliberately, wasn't you?
Smoke made up his mind and took a chance.
Yes, York, I was.
I figured as much. Can't nobody shoot that bad, especially a man who was raised up on a farm the way you claim to be. You're putting on some sort of act, Beers. But you best be damn careful around here. This is a hellhole, and they ain't nothing but scum living here.
I know. Davison at first said if I didn't kill the Indian, he was going to give me to Brute Pittman, and then have me gouge out the Indian's eyes.
Yeah, I heard of Brute. Seen him around a couple of times. He's a bad one. If they'd have tried that, I'd have been forced to deal myself in and help you out.
You'd have gotten yourself killed.
Man don't stand by his friends when they in trouble. Ain't much of a man or a friend. That's just the way I am.
I agree with you. You know, at first they were going to make you kill the Indian.
I'd have not done it. My ma was part Nez Perce, and I'm damn proud of that blood in my veins. And I don't make no effort to hide that fact, neither.
Judging by the scars on his flat-knuckled hands, Smoke figured York had been battling over that very fact most of his life. York followed Smoke's eyes.
Yeah, I'm just as quick with my fists as I am with my guns. And judging by your hands, you ain't no pilgrim neither, Mr. Shirley De Beers, or whatever the hell your name might be.
Let's just leave it De Beers for the time being, shall we?
Okay. Hey, De Beers?
Yes, York.
Let you and me get the hell gone from this damn place.
There was no doubt in Smoke's mind that York was serious, and he was no part of Davidson's scheme of things in or around Dead River. The young cowboy was no outlaw, and he'd made up his mind never to become one. But Smoke had 3 days to go before the deadline was up, and the posse would strike. He had a hunch that would be the 3 longest days of his life. He looked at York for a moment before replying.
I'm just about through sketching Mr. Davidson. He has indicated that he would allow me to leave after that.
Like I said before. And you believe him?
I have no choice in the matter.
I guess not. But I still think you're dragging your boots for some reason. But I'll stick around, just to see what you're up to. Don't worry, De Beers, I'll keep my suspicions to myself.
Whatever you say. Now, what are you going to do on the outside, York?
I don't know. Drift, I reckon. I just ain't cut out for this kind of life. I think I know that all along, but I think I owe it to you for pointing it out.
Stay out of sight, York. I have to go sketch Davidson, even though I certainly don't feel up to it.
What if Davidson won't let you leave here like he says he will?
I don't know. Let's cross that bridge when we come to it.
Bridges don't worry me. It's that damn guarded pass that's got me concerned.
The next 2 days passed without incident. York stayed at Smoke's camp. Smoke continued his sketching of Rex Davidson. The man was as friendly as he had ever been to Smoke, but Smoke could detect a change in him. He appeared tense and sometimes nervous.
Oh, I'm becoming a bit weary of all this.
What, sir?
Of posing, fool. I have enough pictures. But as for you, I don't know what to do about you.
Whatever in the world are you talking about, Mr. Davidson?
Rex stared at him for a long moment. Then, rising from the stool where he'd been sitting posing, he walked to a window and looked out, staring down at his outlaw town.
I first thought it was you, that you were the front man, the spy sent in here. Then I realized that no one except a professional actor could play the part of a fool as convincing as you've done. And no actor has that much courage, not to come in here and lay his life on the line. So you are what you claim to be, a silly fop. But I still don't know what to do with you. I do know that you are beginning to bore me. It was the Indian. Had to be. The marshals hired the Indian to come in here and check on us.
Sir, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But Smoke knew. Somewhere in the ranks of the marshals or the sheriffs or the deputies, there was a turncoat. Now we had to find out just how much Rex Davidson knew about the plan, just 24 hours away from the bloody reality, and stay alive long enough to do something about it, if he could.
That damn woman almost had me fooled.
Oh, it was good fun torturing her, De Beers. I wish you had been here to see it. Yes, indeed. I outdid myself with inventiveness. I kept her alive for a long time. I finally broke her, of course. But by the time I did, she was no more than a babbling idiot. The only thing we learned was that the Marshals were planning on coming in here at some time or another. She didn't know when. Of course, she was raped, among other things. Oh, the men enjoyed taking out their perversions upon her. Repeatedly. I enjoyed listening to her beg for mercy. A dagger can be quite inventive, too. But finally, I wearied of it. Just as I am rapidly wearing of you, De Beers.
Davidson gazed out over his town of scum and filth and perversion.
I have not left this place in years. I stay aware of what is going on outside, of course, but I have not left this valley in years. It's mine, and no one is going to take it from me. I will not permit it. I know an attack is coming, but I don't know when.
Smoke realized then why there had been the sudden influx of outlaws. Somehow, probably through outriders, Davidson had gotten the word out to him. If you wanted to save your refuge, you damn better be prepared to fight for it.
Your Majesty.
Oh, what do you want, Shirley?
May I take my leave now, Your Majesty?
Yes, yes, you silly twit. Stay out of my sight. I ain't made up my mind exactly what I'm going to do with you.
But Smoke had made up his mind as to what he was going to do with King Rex. York had just returned from town and had been unusually quiet since getting back. He finally broke his silence.
De Beers?
Yes, York.
I gotta tell you, the word is out that come the morning, you're gonna be tossed to the wolves. Davidson is gonna declare you fair game for anybody, and you know what that means.
Brute Pittman?
Among other things.
What size boots do you wear, York?
Huh? Man, didn't you hear me? We gotta get the hell gone from this place. And I mean, we got to plan on how to do it right now.
I heard you, York. Just relax. What size boots do you wear?
10.
That's my size. How about that?
Wonderful. You're looking at getting killed. And you all head up about us wearing the same boot size? Oh, you're weird, De Beers.
Here's $20. Go to the store and buy me a good pair of boots. Black. Get me some spurs. Small stars, not the big California rowels. Don't say a word about who you're buying them for. We'll let that come as a surprise to them. Think you can do that for me, York?
Why, hell yes I can. What do you think I am, some sort of dummy? Boots? Okay. But I best get you some walking heels.
Riding heels, York. How many boxes of shells do you have?
One, and what's in my belt. Now why in the hell are you asking that?
Buy at least 3 more boxes. When you get back, I'll explain. Now then, what else have you heard about me, York?
You ain't gonna like it.
Oh, I don't know. It might give me more incentive to better do the job that faces me.
Well, that Jake feller, he's been making his brags about how he's gonna make you hunker down in the street and eat a pile of horse droppings.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah. He likes to belittle folks. That Jake, he's cruel mean, De Beers. That one, and then that run with him, is just plain no good. He makes every slave that comes in here do that. I've had half a dozen or more men tell me that. All the men here, they think it's funny watching Jake force folks to eat that mess.
I wonder how Jake would like to eat a poke of it himself.
Now that'd be a sight to see.
Don't give up hope, York. Would you please go get my stuff for me?
Sure. You know, I can't figure you, De Beers. You've changed. I noticed that this morning.
We'll talk when you get back, York. Be careful down in town. I think things are getting a bit tense.
That ain't exactly the way I'd put it. But whatever you say.
York walked off toward town, shaking his head. Smoke smiled at the young man and then set about preparing himself mentally for what the night held in store. And he knew only too well what lay before him when the dusk settled into darkness in the outlaw town. There was no fear in Smoke, no sweaty palms or pounding heart. He was deathly calm inside and out. He didn't know if that was an asset or a liability. He knew caution, for no man lived by the gun without knowing what was about him at all times. But Smoke, since age 16, had seldom, if ever at all, experienced anything even remotely akin to fear. He sat down on his ground sheet and blankets and calmly set about making a pot of coffee. He was soon interrupted.
Well, well, well.
Go away, Brute. The smell of you would stop a buzzard in flight.
I'm gonna enjoy hearing you holler, pretty boy. With you, I'm gonna make it last a long, long time.
Smoke made no reply, just sat on the ground and stared at the hulking mass of perversion. He allowed his eyes to do the talking, and they silently spoke volumes to the big slob. Brute met the gaze, and Smoke saw something shifting in the Hulk's eyes. Was it fear touching Brute's dark eyes? Smoke felt sure that it was, and that thought amused him. Brute Pittman was like so many men his size, a bully from boyhood. He had bulled and heavy-shouldered his way through life, knowing his sheer size would keep most from fighting back. But like most bullies, Brute was a coward at heart.
Something the matter, Brute?
Ha! No, there ain't nothing the matter with me, sissy boy. Nothing that come night won't clear.
You best watch the night, Brute. Night is a time when death lays close to a man.
Smoke dropped the act. It was too close to the deadline to matter now. The men from the posse would be approaching the ranch and would be changing horses for the last time before entering the mountain pass. Already the Utes would be slipping into place, waiting for the guards to change. Everything was in motion. It couldn't be stopped now.
Get out of my sight, Brute. You sicken me.
Sissy's gonna be eating those words.
Brute turned and walked down the small hill. Twice he stopped and looked back at Smoke. Smoke jabbed the air with his middle finger. Brute looked confused, to say the least. Soon, Cat Ventura walked up to Smoke's camp. Cat stood over Smoke, staring down at him.
I would wish you a good afternoon, but with you here, it's anything but that.
Cat stared at him, ignoring the remark. Smoke was not sure the man even knew what he meant by it.
I seen you somewheres before, artist. And you wasn't drawing no pictures on paper, neither.
Perhaps if you dwell on it long enough, it'll come to you in time. Not that I particularly care at this juncture.
Huh. Boy, you got a damn smart mouth on you, ain't you? You know who I am? I'm Cat Ventura.
Not a pleasure, I'm sure. If you came up here to ask me to sketch you, my studio is closed. Perhaps some other time, like in the next century.
You piss-headed smartass. When the time comes, I think I'll just stomp your guts out. See what color they is. How about that, sissy pants?
I don't think so. I really have my doubts about you doing that.
Well, I know you from somewheres. It'll come to me, and I'll be back.
And I'll certainly be here.
Smoke checked the mountain sky. About 3 hours till dusk. He rose from the ground and got his fishing pole, checking the line and hook. Jake and Shorty and Red had been watching him, hunkered down at the base of the hill. Out of the corner of his eyes, Smoke saw them all relax and reach for the makings, rolling and lighting cigarettes. He stepped back into the timber behind his camp as if heading for the little creek to fish and catch his supper. Smoke assumed his line of credit at the Bon Ton Cafe had been cut off. The food hadn't been all that good anyway. Out of sight of the trio of outlaws, Smoke dropped his pole and walked toward the center of town, staying inside the thin timber line until he was opposite the privy and the pile of lumber behind the saloon. He quickly stepped to the lumber. Smoke spotted the rolled up packed under a couple of boards. Just then, the privy door opened.
Yeah. Whew. Hey, what you doing, boy? Sneaking around here. You trying to slip out, pretty pants?
Smoke's hand closed around a sturdy 2x4, about 3 feet long and solid.
Just borrowing a few boards, sir. I thought I might build a board floor for my tent. Is that all right with you?
No, it ain't all right with me. You just get your butt on out of here.
Smoke smiled at the outlaw.
Playtime's over, you bastard.
What'd you say to me, fancy pants?
I said you stink like sheep shit and you look like the ass end of a donkey.
Oh, you are in a whirl.
Now, let's get you somewhere more private.
Smoke took the man's .244s and punched out the shells from the loops of his belt. He grabbed up his own guns and walked back into the timber, heading for his campsite. They had said their goodbyes to their wives and kids and girlfriends and swung into the saddle, pointing the nose of their horses north toward the outlaw town. One deputy from an adjoining county had been caught trying to make it alone to Dead River. He'd been brought back to face Jim Wilde. It turned out his brother was one of the outlaws living in Dead River. The deputy was now locked down hard in his own jail under heavy guard. The members of the posse were to a man hard-faced and grim. All knew that some of them would not live through the night that lay before them. And while none of them wanted to die, they knew that what lay ahead of them was something that had to be done, should have been done a long time back. The outlaw town had been a blight on society for years, and the time had come to destroy it and all who chose to reside within its confines. The riders each carried at least two pistols belted around their waists. Most had two more six guns, either tucked behind their belts or carried in holsters tied to their saddles. All carried a rifle in the boot. Some had added a shotgun, the express guns loaded with buckshot. The men had stuffed their pockets full of .44s, .45s, and shotgun shells. The posse rode at a steady distance-covering gait. Red Davis's place was the last place to switch saddles. While the hands took care of the horses, the men of the posse grabbed and wolfed down a sandwich and coffee, then refilled canteens. All checked their guns, wiping them free of dust and checking the action.
Wish I was going with you, Marshal Wilde. I'd give $1,000 to see that damn town burned slapped to the ground.
Red, there'll be doctors and the like coming out here and setting up shop about dark. Some of us are going to be hard hit, and the slaves in that town are going to be in bad shape. You got your wagons ready to meet us at the mouth of the pass?
Yeah, all hitched up. And me and my boys will take care of any stragglers that happen to wander out when the shooting starts.
Jim Wilde smiled grimly. Between the Utes and Red Davis's hard-bitten hands, any outlaws who happened to escape were going to be in for a very rough time of it. Red's ranch had been the first in the area, and the old man was as tough as leather, and so were his hands.
Luck to you, boy. And I want to meet this Smoke Jensen. That there is my kind of man.
Jim nodded and turned, facing the 60-odd men of the posse. The U.S. Marshal wore twin .44s tied down. He carried another .44 in his shoulder holster and a rifle and a shotgun in the boots on his horse.
All right, boys. This is the last jumping-off place. From here on in, there's no turning back. When we get back into the saddle, we ain't stopping until we're inside Dead River. Smoke's gonna open up the dance in about an hour, if he's still alive. And knowing him, he is. Anybody want to back out of this? Now's the time. Then let's ride!
The sun was dropping low on the horizon. The guards along the pass road had just changed, the new guards settling in for a long and boring watch.
Huh? What was that?
This is probably some damn...
The axe stuck out from the top of the guard's skull. The ute it belonged to slowly lowered the bloody body to the earth. The body would never be found. Time and wind and rain and the elements and animals would dispose of the flesh and scatter the bones. 100 years from now, small boys playing would discover the gold coins the outlaw had had in his pockets and would wonder how the hell that money came to be in this lonely spot. His job done for the moment, the brave slipped back into the timber and waited. Up and down the heavily guarded narrow road, the guards were meeting an end just as violent as the life they had chosen to live. Their first job done, the engines quietly slipped back and took their positions around the outlaw town of Dead River. With the patience bred into them, they waited and watched, expressionless. Meanwhile, York looked up and blinked, at first not recognizing the tall, muscular man who was walking toward him out of the timber.
Who the... Damn, De Beers? I didn't know you at first. How come you shaved off your beard?
It was time. And my name is not De Beers.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was a phony. And I didn't believe that Shirley bit neither.
That's right. You got my boots and spurs?
York pointed to a bag on the ground. He looked up again. He had never seen such a change in any man. Smoke was dressed all in black from his boots to his shirt. His belt was black with inlaid silver that caught the last glows of the setting sun. He wore a red bandana around his neck. He had buckled on twin 44s, the left handgun worn but forward, cross-draw style. He had shoved two more 44s behind his belt.
Man, you best be careful with them guns. You packing enough for an army? You fixing to start a war around here?
That's my hope, York.
Yeah? You seem familiar somehow. Who are you really?
Smoke pulled a badge from his pocket and pinned it to his shirt.
I'm a United States Deputy Marshal. And as far as I'm concerned, York, all those warrants against you are not valid. And when we get out of here, I'll see that they're all recalled. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, that'll do, Marshal.
You don't seem to care too much about those warrants.
Not really.
York, too, pulled a gold badge out of his pocket and pinned it on his shirt.
Buddy York's the name. Arizona Rangers. I was wondering if you plan on corralling this town all by your lonesome.
Damnation. That was a good cover story of yours, Ranger.
Hell, took us 6 months to set it up. The Dodgers that are out are real. Had to be that way.
I gather you have warrants for some people in here?
A whole passel of them, including some on Daggett.
There's a large posse on the way in. They'll be here just at dusk. The Utes have taken care of the guards along the road.
Dusk's a good hour and a half away, Marshal.
That's the way I figured it, Ranger. Of course, you do know that you have no jurisdiction in this area.
I'll worry about that later.
Consider yourself deputized with full government authority.
I do thank you, Marshal.
You ready to open this dance, Ranger?
Smoke sat down on a log and buckled on his spurs.
Here. I figured you could do with a real man's hat.
Low-crowned and flat-brimmed. A whole lot better than my last one. Perfect fit.
And I'd imagine your horses are going to be looking forward to taking off their bonnets.
You kidding? I'm surprised Drifter didn't kill me before this town did.
Well, I gotta hand it to you. You're one hell of a fine actor.
Both men stuffed their pockets full of shells.
So, what's your handle anyways?
Smoke Jensen.
Holy jumping Jesus Christ!
I'm new to the marshaling business, Ranger. I just took this on a temporary basis.
What, you just got bored and felt like taking down a town?
Nope. There's some men here shot my wife a couple of months back.
Oh, I'm sorry about...
Yeah, she's fine. Heading off to New Hampshire to give birth. So yeah, guess you could say I had myself some free time. Do me a favor?
Yeah, Smoke. Anything.
Leave Davidson, Daggett, Lapeer, and more to me.
They're all yours.
Smoke checked his guns, slipping them both in and out of leather a few times. He filled both cylinders and every loop on his gun belt, then checked the short-barreled pistol he carried in his shoulder holster. Breaking off the sawed-off shotgun, he filled both barrels with buckshot loads. Smoke looked on with approval as the Ranger pulled two spare 44s out of his war bag and loaded them full. He tucked them behind his belt and picked up a Henry repeating rifle, loading it full and levering in a round, then replacing that round in the magazine.
I'll tell you how I see this thing, Ranger. You don't have to play this way, but I'm going to.
I'm listening, Smoke.
I'm not taking any prisoners.
I hadn't planned on it myself.
You ready to strike up the band, Ranger?
Damn right.
Let's do it.
We've still got an hour before backup comes.
That'll give us a good time for some payback.
How do we do this?
We walk in together.
Well, well, would you boys just take a look at Shirley? He done shaving off his beard and taking a pack of iron. Boy, you best get shut of them guns before you hurt yourself.
Yeah, or I decide to take them off and shove them up your ass, letting all pretty boy. Matter of fact,
I think I'll just do that right now.
The name isn't Pretty Boy, Hart.
Oh, yeah? Well, mayhaps you're right. I'll just call you Shit. How about that?
Why don't you just call him by his real name?
And what might that be, punk? Alice?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, shit! He done
The outlaws recovered from their initial shock and overturned tables, crouching behind them, returning the deadly hail of fire from smoke and Arizona Ranger York. Dark gray smoke from the black powder cartridge had stung the eyes and obscured the vision of all in the room. Smoke slipped to the end of the bar closest to the batwing doors, and York worked his way to the side of the big stage, crouching behind a second piano in the small orchestra pit. Between the two of them, Smoke and York laid down a deadly field of fire. Both men grabbed up the guns of the dead and dying men as they slipped to their new positions, and they now had a pile of 44s, 45s, and several shotguns and rifles in front of them.
Let's get out of here! I ain't getting killed by an old man named Alice!
His real name, you sorry sons of bitches, is Smoke Jensen!
A half dozen outlaws tried to rush the batwings in a frantic attempt to escape and were met by a half dozen other outlaws attempting to enter the saloon from the outside. They created a massive pileup of the batwings and a target too good for Smoke to resist. Smoke grabbed up an armload of weapons and ran to the end of the bar closest to the rear of the saloon. He caught York's attention and motioned to the storeroom where they had entered. York nodded and left his position at a run. The men ran through the darkened storeroom to the back door. Just as they reached the back door, it burst open.
Come on! There's some...
York, you take the north end of town, I'll take the south.
York nodded his agreement and tossed Smoke one of two cloth sacks he'd picked up in the storeroom. The men began dumping in the many guns they'd picked up along the way.
Find and destroy the heathens! The Philistines are upon us!
Who in the hell is that?
That's Tustin the preacher. Has to be.
A preacher? Here?
Oh, Lord! Take these poor unfortunate bastards into the gates of heaven and give us the strength and the wherewithal to find and shoot the piss out of them that's attacking us.
I ain't believing this.
Good luck, York.
Same to you, partner.
Carrying their heavy sack of weapons and cartridge-filled belt, the men parted, one heading north, the other heading south. York and Smoke both held to the edge of the timber. The town's inhabitants had adopted a panicked siege mentality, with outlaws filling the streets, running in every direction. No one among them knew how many men were attacking the town. Just before Smoke slipped past the point where he could look up and see the fine home of Davidson, he saw the lamps in the house being turned off, the home on the hill growing dark. And Smoke made a bet then that Davidson and Daggett had a rabbit hole out of Dead River, and that both of them, and probably a dozen or more of their most trusted henchmen, were busy packing up and getting the hell out. Just for a moment, Smoke studied the darkened outline of the home on the hill, and then it came to him. A cave. He bet $100 that King Rex had built his home in front of a cave. A cave that wound through the mountain and exited out the timbered range behind Dead River. And he would also bet that White Wolf and his braves knew nothing of it. He might exit out into a little valley where horses and gear could be stored. Smoke slipped on into the night, seeking a good spot to set up a defensive position. He followed the sound of the Henry and saw where the ranger had chosen to make his stand, and it was a good one. High up on the right side of the ridge overlooking the town, the Smoke stood looking north. With a smile, Smoke chose his position on the opposite side of the street, above the first store one encountered upon entering the outlaw town. Below him, the outlaws had settled down, taking up positions around the town. Smoke could see several bodies sprawled in the street, evidence of York's marksmanship with his Henry. A handful of outlaws tried to rush the ranger's position. White Wolf's youths were making their presence known now in a real lethal manner. For years, the outlaws had made life miserable for the youths, and now it was payback time with a vengeance.
All right, Smoke, where are you? You're gonna get yourself killed by...
ain't gonna die till you...
Smoke took cover behind a series of boulders. He had taken too long shooting that damn fool on the horse. A ute came rolling down the hill, crashing against the boulder behind which Smoke was hiding. Smoke rolled the Brave over and checked his wound, a nasty wound in the Brave's side. Smoke plugged it with moss and stretched the engine out, safe from fire. The ute's dark eyes had never left Smoke's face, and he endured the pain without a sound. Smoke made the sign for brother, and the engine, flat on his back, returned the gesture. Gunfighter and engine smiled at each other in the gunfire-filled night above the outlaw town.
Come on, brother. Let you and me take out a few more. Don't worry about ammo. There's plenty more where that came from.
Smoke picked up his rifle as the engine, who had never let go of his rifle, crawled to a position on the other end of the line of boulders. The men took careful aim, lacing the town with rifle fire. Smoke saw the glint of metal as a dozen outlaws charged their position, the men slipping from tree to tree, rock to rock, working closer. There was no doubt in his mind that the outlaws would certainly breach their position, and then the fighting would be hand to hand. Turning his head, Smoke saw the ute fall backward, a blue-tinged hole in the center of his forehead. With his right hand, Smoke made the engine sign for peaceful journey. He dropped the Henry and, pulling out his .44s, returned to the fight. He took out one outlaw and made the mistake of exposing too much of his body, knocking the man spinning from behind a tree. Then there was no time for anything except survival as the outlaws charged Smoke's position.